Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, July 16th, 2019. Coming up this hour,
Wall Street braces for the next round of big bank earnings.
Facebook's digital currency faces skeptical lawmakers on Capitol Hill.
Big tech heads for an antitrust showdown with Congress.
And the EU braces for $7 billion in U.S. tariffs.
House leaders vote on a resolution to condemn what they call the president's xenophobic tweets. Plus, Con Ed has a reason for Saturday's blackout in Manhattan. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Rob Buschka. Ahead in sports, a former Met broke the hearts of Yankees fans three times on Monday night in a home run display for the ages as the East tightens up.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Inovalon, a leading provider of cloud-based platforms empowering data-driven healthcare for insurance companies, physicians, pharmacy, and pharmaceutical companies. Inovalon, data has a story to tell. Inovalon gives it a voice.
And U.S. futures are higher this morning ahead of a big day for bank earnings. It is 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up about 2 points, Dow futures up 3, NASDAQ futures up 7.5. The DAX in Germany is up 0.1%, and the FTSE 100 and the CAC in Paris are both up about 0.2%. 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 2.09%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.83%. NYMEX crude oil, little changed, up 4 cents at $59.63 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.2% or $2.70 to $14.1630 an ounce. The euro 1.1242 against the dollar, and the yen 108.01. Nathan.
Well, Karen, you said it. It is a busy day for bank earnings with results from J.P. Morgan, Goldman Sachs, and Wells Fargo. They all report this morning after mixed results from Citigroup. We get more from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Bloomberg Intelligence says J.P. Morgan's net interest margin and underlying trends will be pivotal because of the worsening interest rate environment. The CEO question is seen as the most critical issue for Wells Fargo, and investors will be interested in whatever Goldman has to say about the global competitive landscape in light of the cutbacks at Deutsche Bank. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Jeff, thank you. Results from Citigroup yesterday showed a soft trading, but also strength in the consumer business. J.P. Morgan and Goldman should shed more light on the investment banking landscape today. Bloomberg macro strategist Mark Cudmore.
Yesterday's results from Citi puts a slightly darker tone going to J.P. Morgan, Goldman Sachs. But we have had this kind of theme of financials underperforming the broader index for a while now. It's notable that the financial subindex of the S&P 500 has not made new record highs in recent months, despite the broader index doing so. So it hasn't yet validated that move, and that's something we're watching for today.
And stay tuned for live coverage and analysis of those results as they roll in this morning.
It is also a big day for Facebook. A representative from that company heads to Capitol Hill this morning to defend its proposed digital currency, Libra. Bloomberg's Bob Moon reports.
Response to Facebook's plans has been almost universally skeptical, from Fed Chair Powell.
Libra raises many serious concerns.
To Treasury Secretary Mnuchin.
Libra could be misused by money launderers and terrorist financiers.
And lawmakers from both parties, including the Senate Banking Committee's top Democrat Sherrod Brown, who calls Facebook arrogant.
People don't trust Facebook right now.
That bipartisan distrust of the social networking giant will be on display as top Facebook executive David Marcus faces the Senate Banking Committee today and the House Financial Services Committee tomorrow. Marcus, in prepared remarks, pledges to work closely with regulators and governments around the globe to address their concerns. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Bob, thank you. At the same time, Facebook's on the hot seat at a separate hearing this afternoon. Google, Amazon, and Apple will also be in attendance to answer questions about antitrust concerns in the tech industry. Ben Brody has more from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
I expect a lot of talk about the nature of competition and whether it's stifling, but I also expect a lot of talk about startups, venture capital. Do you start a company just so you can expect to be acquired, or because you think it's a really great idea that needs to be out there in the world that you're going to lead into the future?
Today's hearing is billed as the biggest antitrust showdown with Congress since Microsoft co-founder Bill Gates appeared before the Senate 20 years ago.
Meanwhile, we have an update on U.S.-China trade talks from Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin.
Ambassador Lighthizer and I have had several conversations on China with our counterparts. We expect to have another principal-level call this week.
And if talks by phone go well, Mnuchin says he and Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer may travel to Beijing for discussions. At the same time, President Trump says tariffs on Chinese goods are having their intended impact after the latest reading on China's GDP slowed to the weakest pace in 27 years.
But there's at least one company showing strength in China, with results from Burberry pointing to strong sales on the mainland. Bloomberg's Joe Easton has more from London.
Burberry, they reported first quarter sales up around 4%. That's against a company compiled estimate of 2%. Notably, they say that China was particularly strong. The Asia-Pacific region in general took around a mid-teen percentage point gain, according to the company. However, it's perhaps not all positive, with analysts at Morgan Stanley among those noting that the management actually sound quite prudent in their commentary, suggesting that they're not certain in terms of volatility in the coming quarters.
Those earnings have shares of Burberry up 10% in London.
In Asia today, trading was thin, with low volumes and stocks struggling for direction. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Well, Japanese shares declined as traders returned from a long weekend, the Nikkei 225 finishing down 0.7% in Tokyo. Chinese shares dipped amid volumes which were about 20% lower than normal, while stocks in Hong Kong were less volatile. South Korean suppliers to Samsung surged, supporting the Kospi, as analysts said chip makers have a strong willingness to use locally made materials amid the trade spat with Japan. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Salih, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thank you. Turning to Europe now, we have the EU bracing for $7 billion in U.S. tariffs. Bloomberg Daybreak Europe anchor Caroline Hepker brings us the very latest from London.
Sources tell Bloomberg Europe expects the World Trade Organization to give the U.S. the green light to hit the EU with tariffs this summer. The levies would be in response to illegal subsidies for Airbus. The Trump administration is waiting for the WTO's final decision before imposing the tariffs. The EU has a similar case pending against Boeing. In London, I'm Caroline Hepker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Caroline, thank you. S&P futures up 2.5 points this morning. Dow futures up 9. NASDAQ futures up 8.5. And NYMEX crude oil is up 0.4% now. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. It is 5:07 on Wall Street. Time to bring in Michael Barr to get more on what's happening in the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. House Democrats are planning a vote on a resolution that critics say condemns President Donald Trump's racist comments about four congresswomen of color. The proposed measure says Trump's words have legitimized and increased fear and hatred of new Americans and people of color. President Trump followed his weekend tweets about the women going back to their broken countries with remarks yesterday that they should get out of the U.S. right now.
These are people that if they don't like it here, they can leave. And I don't know who's going to miss them, but I guess some people will.
Later, the four women held a joint news conference. Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez of New York.
He tells us that I should go back to the great borough of the Bronx and make it better. And that's what I'm here to do.
Ocasio-Cortez says, I am not surprised that he uses the rhetoric he does, but I also know that we are focused. It's a rule that's seen as a blow against Planned Parenthood. The Trump administration says taxpayer-funded family planning clinics must stop referring women for abortions immediately. Con Ed says an overly sensitive relay protection system is to blame for a power failure that plunged parts of Manhattan's West Side into darkness for hours over the weekend. A utility spokesman says the system, designed to detect electrical faults and keep them from spreading, overreacted to a cable that had burned at West 64th Street and West End Avenue. It led to a widespread outage that knocked out lights in Times Square and Madison Square Garden. Former Vice President Joe Biden is unveiling a health care plan that would add a public option to the 2010 health care overhaul known as Obamacare, with expanded coverage paid for by raising taxes on the wealthiest Americans. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. It's 5:09 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning, Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Nathan. The Mets had the night off, but it didn't feel like it for Yankees fans at the stadium.
Fly ball towards right field. Going back is Judge to the warning track at the wall. It's gone! A three-run homer by Travis d'Arnaud.
Rays radio, a three-home run night for former longtime Met Travis d'Arnaud did in the Yankees to give Tampa Bay game one of the four-game series 5-4. It's not often All-Star Aroldis Chapman blows a save. Yankees skipper Aaron Boone.
All of his at-bats were really good. I mean, it's just kind of what we've seen from him. You know, he hurt us, obviously, down in Tampa as well. You know, obviously really good at-bats. He got a couple of fastballs and looked like in the heart of the plate that he took advantage of against Paxton just all night long, laying off tough pitches, spoiling pitches.
D'Arnaud's three home runs overshadowed a two-home run night for Edwin Encarnacion in a losing cause. Yankees' lead is trimmed to five games in the East. Series continues on Tuesday as C.C. Sabathia gets the call tonight opposite Ryan Stanek. Mets, they were idle, heading to first-place Minnesota, Steven Matz and Michael Pineda. Giants took a doubleheader in Colorado, outscoring the Rockies 21-3. Red Sox beat the Blue Jays, and the Dodgers clobbered the Phillies 16-2. Cody Bellinger with a pair of home runs. And sad news from the boxing world, former champ Pernell Sweet Pea Whitaker was hit by a car and passed away in his home state of Virginia. He was 55 and inducted into the Boxing Hall of Fame in 2006. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
Thank you, Rob. Now some other business stories we're watching this morning. In California, a federal judge has given a partial victory to Bayer in a case over its Roundup weed killer. A jury awarded $80 million to a plaintiff who alleged exposure to Roundup caused his cancer. The judge is now cutting that payment to $25 million, but says he still found the company's behavior reprehensible. Ryanair says the grounding of the Boeing 737 MAX will hurt its growth plans till next summer. The European discount carrier expects the plane to return to service by the end of the year, but the date isn't certain. And Alphabet has unveiled an app to provide air traffic control for drones. Open Sky has been approved to manage unmanned aircraft flights in Australia. Futures moving higher. This is Bloomberg. It's coming up to 5:12 on Wall Street. Coming up on Bloomberg Daybreak, can earnings sustain the rally on Wall Street? We speak with CFRA investment strategist Lindsay Bell ahead of today's results from three big banks.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks are now little changed, along with U.S. stock index futures, as investors look to earnings and policymakers for the rally's next catalyst. S&P futures, again, little change. This after the U.S. benchmark ended yesterday at a record. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Dow futures also little change. They're down 3. The NASDAQ futures are up 5. The DAX in Germany up less than a tenth of a percent. 10-year Treasury little change. Yield 2.08%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.83%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.5% or 28 cents at $59.86 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.3% or $3.80 to $14.17.30 an ounce. The euro 1.1241 against the dollar. The yen 107.92. Today we are watching for U.S. retail sales data out at 8:30 Wall Street time, along with the import price index. Industrial production and capacity utilization are out at 9:15, and its business inventories and homebuilder confidence at 10. And a busy morning for earnings. J.P. Morgan Chase, Goldman Sachs, Wells Fargo are among those scheduled to report. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. House Democrats plan to vote on a resolution today that strongly condemns President Trump for his tweet saying they can leave the country if they don't like it. The four freshman lawmakers that Trump was referring to fired back, calling the president racist and xenophobic. The Trump administration says it will immediately start enforcing its new regulation, barring taxpayer-funded family planning clinics from referring women for abortions. The Health and Human Services Department says it will begin enforcing the ban, along with a requirement that clinics maintain separate finances from facilities that provide abortions. In baseball, the Yankees lost, the Red Sox won, the Giants swept a doubleheader. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. It's 519 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. Lindsay Bell is our guest this morning, investment strategist at CFRA Research. Lindsay, thanks so much for being here with us this morning. And Karen mentioned it, it is a big morning for bank earnings. Do you see financials sustaining the rally on Wall Street?
I think it's going to be a little bit difficult for the banks, to be honest. We got Citigroup yesterday. We get some of the other big marquee names today. And the thing that's at risk for these guys really is that the fact that interest rates are going to start to decline. These guys make money when interest rates are rising and they can charge more money for loans. And we saw that in Citigroup's report, their net interest margin, which is the difference between what they're paying on deposits and what they're earning on loans, to simplify it, declined to 2.66% from 2.7% in the first quarter. We'd expect to see more of that from the other banks. What was the positive in Citigroup's report? It was really buybacks, their payout ratio reaching 103% of their total earnings. But with the buybacks and dividends, which were increased with the release of CCAR reports last month, that was the positive in the report. But some investors might call that a low-quality beat.
Now, there's been an expectation in the market for rate cuts for some time. Have the banks adjusted to that?
You know, I think it's been a little bit difficult for them. From what we heard from Citigroup is that they increased their deposit rates over the cycle, and they were able to delay the increase in what they were paying for deposits to about last year and into earlier this year. So that was that caught, you know, it was great if you're a consumer putting your money in the bank and you're earning more on those deposits, but for the banks, that increases their costs. They're having a hard time lowering those costs right now, given the intense level of competition among the other banks, as well as fintech companies that are also offering higher rates for customers.
Citigroup also mentioned that it's going to put more of a focus on cost cutting going forward. Is that something the other banks are going to have to do as well?
Yes, that's exactly what they're going to have to do, because if they're not able to grow their top line through some of these other mechanisms, you know, also for Citigroup, we saw some weakness in their trading and their investment banking revenue, too, declining 10% on investment banking revenue, trading down 5% for the quarter, which weakness was expected. So I think that they're going to have to be able to cut costs to offset some of this weakness. And they've been cutting costs for several years now, so it's going to be, I think, a little more difficult, heavy lifting going forward for these banks.
So what do you see then as the next catalyst for markets looking ahead?
I think the next catalyst really is going to be a trade deal actually getting done and that issue being resolved, because it's creating a lot of uncertainty in the marketplace. You heard Citigroup talk about it. You've heard Fastenal and some of these other industrial companies that have reported results also talking about how it's impacting their businesses, and especially with what we saw from Citi, they're telling us that their clients are being cautious about taking out loans to build their businesses in the face of this uncertainty that is trade. So I think that's the next big catalyst for the market. I think earnings season is going to be a good one for the second quarter. We'll probably end up with positive earnings growth, even though the current expectation by S&P Capital IQ is for a 2% decline. We expect maybe a 2 to 2.5% rise when things are all said and done, but the risk remains in the second half outlook.
And in our last 45 seconds here, we got retail sales coming out later this morning. What's your expectation there?
The expectation for retail sales is for a little bit of a slowdown this month, which of course, you might weigh on the market today. So that will definitely be an important number. Although it could be bad news is good news, and it reinforces the opportunity for the Fed to cut rates later this month.
As we look ahead to that at the end of this month, Lindsay Bell, investment strategist, CFRA Research, very busy morning. Thanks for sharing your insights with us here on Bloomberg Daybreak. With the market looking to be in a bit of wait-and-see mode at the moment, S&P futures little changed right now. Dow futures down 5 points, NASDAQ futures up, but just by 3.5. Tepid trading in Europe as well. Very slight gains there. 10-year little change. The yield 2.08%, and the 2-year Treasury yield is at 1.84%. We're coming up to 5:25 on Wall Street. Straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, we're going to have more on how Citigroup's earnings could set up the results we get from the three other banks today, plus all the latest in business, economics, and finance. I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg. And you are listening to Bloomberg Radio, streaming live 24 hours a day on the Bloomberg Business app, radio.com, the iHeartRadio app, and Bloomberg.com/audio.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130
to Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991
to Boston.
Bloomberg 1061
to San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960
to the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119
and around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Eisner Amper. The Qualified Opportunity Zone program provides significant tax benefits. To learn more, download a guide for real estate investors at EisnerAmper.com/QOFbook.
And we're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are little changed today after all three major indexes closed at record highs. European averages are rising while stocks in Asia ended mostly lower.
More big banks report earnings today after results from Citigroup showed soft trading in the second quarter. We get more from Bloomberg's Danny Berger.
You have to ask, is this a Citi-specific thing when it comes to trading, or is it an industry-wide thing? And the logical answer has to be industry-wide just because of what we've heard from CEOs. Back in May, Mike Corbat was warning about trading revenues. We heard others come out and say trading is going to slump in the second quarter. So certainly there seems to be some concern for the ones left to report this week.
On tap this morning, results from J.P. Morgan, Goldman Sachs, and Wells Fargo.
On the trade front, Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin says he and Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer may travel to Beijing for negotiations with China. That's if talks by phone this week are productive.
A top Facebook executive will be on Capitol Hill this morning to defend the company's proposed digital currency, Libra. Ben Brody has more from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
There is a feeling here in Washington, D.C. that Facebook has not been responsive to the concerns, that they didn't get actually the kinds of regulations and the kinds of approvals that they needed. And they kind of went out with this splashy announcement and didn't necessarily do the work beforehand. And I think that there is a lot of concern about the company that we're seeing. And when you have that level of concern, you can't just wave it off and say, trust us.
Facebook will also appear at a hearing this afternoon, along with executives from Google, Amazon, and Apple, to answer questions about antitrust concerns in the tech industry.
This morning, we get a key reading on U.S. retail sales, with economists forecasting an increase of 0.2%. Bloomberg's Vinnie Dalgiudice reports.
In May, retail sales advanced for the third month in a row, setting the stage for a rebound in second quarter consumer spending. Turning to June, Bloomberg Economics says lower gasoline prices may have freed up cash for spending on other goods and services. Auto sales, based on industry data, were flat. Vinny Dalgiudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Vinny, thanks. And in Europe, shares of luxury retailer Burberry are up 11.5%. Store sales rose 4%, double the rate analysts predicted.
S&P futures, that'll change. Dow futures down 12. NASDAQ futures up about 2. And the 10-year Treasury, that'll change. Yield 2.08%. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. It's 5:33 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr has more on the latest developments around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Democratic Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and her three allies in Congress said verbal attacks from President Trump won't distract them from their agenda, as they decried his tweets as racist. Ocasio-Cortez says, "I am not surprised that he uses the rhetoric he does.
We'll stay focused on our agenda, and we won't get caught slipping. Because all of this is a distraction. It's a distraction from what's most important and from our core values as American citizens."
Earlier, Trump doubled down on his tweet, telling the congresswomen to go back to the countries they came from rather than criticize the government. President Trump is overshadowing the UK Prime Minister's race between Boris Johnson and Jeremy Hunt. Bloomberg's Thomas Penny has more from London.
The president's tweets telling four female US lawmakers to go back where their families came from were condemned by both candidates in the final debate of the campaign, but they dodged a question when asked if his comments were racist. Even Hunt, who has three children with his Chinese wife and said he would be utterly appalled if they were told to go back to China, shied away from using the word, saying it would not help to use such language about a close ally. In London, Thomas Penny, Bloomberg Daybreak.
The Trump administration says taxpayer-funded family planning clinics must stop referring women for abortions immediately. A major push is underway in the U.S. Senate to permanently fund the 9/11 Victim Compensation Fund. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
Now that the House has approved the measure, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer is asking Majority Leader Mitch McConnell not to hide it.
No games. Do not attach this bill to something else where it might get messed up, as it has gotten messed up in the past. Do not say that we're going to use this bill to help pass a debt ceiling or a budget or something else. That always leads to things getting messed up.
Schumer urging quick passage before Congress goes on the five-week break in August. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Con Ed says a relay protection system that should have isolated a faulty distribution cable, but didn't, led to the loss of power that darkened Manhattan for several hours over the weekend. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Nathan. Not much can spoil a two-home run night for Edwin Encarnacion in front of a raucous crowd in the Bronx, except a former Met and current Ray, Travis d'Arnaud, who hit three home runs, accounting for all five runs driven in, including a three-run blast off Aroldis Chapman in the ninth, blowing the save.
He's got elite stuff. Motor just reminded me to stay short and not try to do too much, and that's all I was thinking about the whole at bat, and fortunately I was able to get a barrel to the ball, and fortunately we were able to take the lead right there.
The lead over Tampa Bay is cut to five games in the East. Yankees manager Aaron Boone.
I thought he threw the ball fine, and d'Arnaud did a good job of laying off of some tough pitches when Chappie was ahead in the count, and finally got a mistake and finished off what was a pretty great night, obviously.
Four-game series continues tonight with the Rays sending Ryan Stanek up against CC Sabathia. Mets took the day off, but it gets real on Tuesday as they're in the Twin Cities to meet division-leading Minnesota at 8:10. Former Yankee Michael Pineda plays host to Steven Matz. Boston picked up a game on New York, taking down Toronto. L.A. worked over Philadelphia 16-2 as Dodger Cody Bellinger went yard twice. And San Francisco took a pair in Colorado, outscoring the Rockies 21-3. And former Hall of Fame boxer Pernell Sweet Pea Whitaker was hit by a car in his home state of Virginia on Sunday, and he passed away. Whitaker was elected to the Boxing Hall of Fame in 2006 and an Olympic gold medal champion. He was 55 years of age. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
All right, Rob, thank you. It's 5:37 on Wall Street. The latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now. The cover story is The New Workers of the World. Also in this week's issue, how a rental app lost control of its cars. Josh Brustein wrote the story for Bloomberg Businessweek.
Suddenly they saw that all the high-end cars, the Mercedes, were headed out of the coverage area. They only operate in part of Chicago. And they watched as like a lot of cars, way more than normal, all got signed out and all headed to the same place. And they started to think, well, what is going on?
You can read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Businessweek. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now and listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. That's time for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Ed Curry. Good morning, Ed.
Morning, Nathan. Rising prices among New York City's major ride-hailing apps may be deterring the most price-cautious passengers these days. Uber rides were down in May, off about 8% from March. Lyft saw 17,000 fewer trips than its peak in March. The city imposed a minimum wage rule for rideshare drivers 6 months ago. New Jersey will need another 2,800 more doctors by next year just to meet the demand. But a 22-year-old federal law caps the number of medical residencies hospitals can offer. NJ Spotlight says lawmakers are introducing legislation to update the limits to allow more physicians to be trained. Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont has signed a bill into law It's aimed at speeding up the deployment of 5G wireless technology in the state. It establishes a council on 5G, reviewing the requests of carriers to use state property for facilities that would help with a faster service. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Nathan?
Thank you, Ed. It's 5:39 on Wall Street, and Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on WHAS in Louisville. Fifth Third said it won't provide financing to companies that manage private prisons.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and on WBBM in Chicago, Ryanair becomes the first airline to scale back growth plans for next summer due to the grounding of Boeing's 737 MAX.
I'm Roger Hearing on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on the UK Competition Authority taking a closer look at the takeover of satellite operator Inmarsat.
I'm Steve Podolsky, and on KYW in Philadelphia, we're watching quarterly results from Johnson & Johnson.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting Nissan has unveiled a new version of its Skyline sedan featuring advanced self-driving car technology.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world, a morning where we await earnings from J.P. Morgan, Goldman Sachs, Wells Fargo. Ahead of that, futures on Wall Street turning a bit lower now. S&P futures little changed, but Dow futures are down 20 points at the moment. NASDAQ futures little changed to lower. DAX in Germany down 0.1%, while the CAC in Paris and the FTSE in London are little changed to higher. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. It's brought to you by Marks Paneth, LLP. Marks Paneth Tax Advisors have helped family businesses reach their financial goals for over 100 years. At Marks Paneth, success is personal. Learn more at markspaneth.com/tax.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day
at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks are drifting along with U.S. stock index futures following a mixed session in Asia as investors look to earnings and policymakers for the rally's next catalyst. Right now, S&P futures are little changed. So are NASDAQ futures. Dow futures are down 16. The DAX in Germany is down less than 0.1%. 10-year Treasury little change. Yield 2.09%. Yield on the 2-year 1.83%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.2% or 13 cents at $59.71 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.25% or $3.80 to $14.1730 an ounce. The euro 1.1237 against the dollar. The yen 107.92. It's going to be a busy day for earnings. JP Morgan Chase, Goldman Sachs, and Wells Fargo among those scheduled to report. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, four freshman lawmakers fired back at President Trump, calling him racist for his tweets against them. Trump doubled down on his attack, saying they can leave the country if they don't like it. Two women who say they were sexually abused by multimillionaire Jeffrey Epstein confronted him in a Manhattan federal court, arguing that he's a scary person to have walking the streets. The judge will decide on Thursday whether he is granted bail. NASA says last month was the hottest June on record and is on track for the warmest July. In baseball, the Yankees lost, the Red Sox won, the Giants swept a doubleheader. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, where it's 5:48 on Wall Street. Time for Bloomberg Opinion, our platform offering informed perspectives on a range of global topics and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news. Bloomberg Opinion Managing Editor Edward Evans is with us from our London Bureau. And we begin this morning, Ed, with Amazon taking on Google in advertising. Shira Ovideh calls it a toll in disguise.
That's right. Investors are getting giddy about Amazon's fast-growing pool of ad sales, which largely come from merchandise sellers buying commercial messages to make their goods much more prominent on Amazon's website. Now, calling this advertising is true, but it's a misnomer that leads investors to imagine a Google-like marketing machine inside Amazon. It's not, or not yet that at least. Amazon's advertising is better understood as an additional tax the company imposes on the millions of businesses that sell through its vast digital mall. It's one more toll extracted from sellers to access the fast lane of Amazon's beautiful freeway for shopping. Now, they may be a justified expense for merchants to access Amazon's hundreds of millions of shoppers, and it's a common business tactic to juice revenue. But it's also risky for Amazon to milk its merchants for a higher effective commission than most businesses of its kind can command. And as regulators and politicians question whether the superpowers of US tech are using their popular services to unfairly advantage themselves, Amazon may pay a cost in reputation the more it squeezes cash from its hold on online shopping.
It's a big day in Brussels, Ed. The European Parliament votes today on whether to confirm Ursula von der Leyen as EC president, and Leonid Brzezinski is arguing that von der Leyen's weakness is her strength.
She faces a tough confirmation vote today, but her chances are bolstered by the risk that a no vote would plunge the EU into an institutional crisis. Remember that she is essentially the compromise candidate. Emmanuel Macron put her name forward after the candidacy of Dutchman Frans Timmermans, Merkel's pick for the job, met fierce resistance from some conservative leaders. Now, Timmermans' failure has created a serious hurdle for von der Leyen, however. To get confirmed by the parliament, she needs the votes of three out of the four centrist groups, the centre-right European People's Party, the Liberal Renew Europe grouping, the Social Democrats and the Greens. Now, since the environmentalists rejected von der Leyen after a single meeting, that looks difficult. The EPP, though, has come to terms with her candidacy. Renew Europe, which is Emmanuel Macron's party, where Emmanuel Macron's party is the main force, has sent her a list of fairly tame questions. So even if the EPP and Renew Europe give her all the votes, she would still be 86 votes short of a majority, and that's where she needs the Social Democrats. Now, the problem for them is if she loses the vote, the European Council would have to go back to the drawing board. And the chances of Timmermans' candidacy being revived are slim, simply because he faces so much opposition for Eastern Europe. The vote count looks tight, but the dynamic of compromise looks to be behind von der Leyen.
All right, and finally, Alex Webb apparently is still focused on England's big World Cup win in cricket. It's been like 2 days, Ed. What is his focus this morning?
It's a big moment for cricket fans here. I mean, it was an incredible match, perhaps one of the greatest one-day games ever played. And this was a victory characterised by the sort of risk-taking and inventiveness which Comcast's British pay television arm could certainly use. Now, Sky has long been the broadcast home of Premier League soccer games, I must call them. In the past 15 years, though, it's hoovered up the rights to cricket, Formula One racing and all sorts of other sports. Now, popular as these may be in the UK, though, they don't quite have the same cultural pervasiveness as soccer. As more and more sport has disappeared behind the paywall, younger viewers are switching off. And this is the strategic threat to Sky, which, of course, built its pay TV empire by charging people to watch sports of all kinds. The other thing that's changing the game here, if you'll forgive the expression, is that the giants of Silicon Valley are taking their first tentative steps into sports. Amazon is going to start broadcasting a handful of Premier League games next season. Facebook's looking at soccer as well. Now, for the people that own these sports rights, the league administrators and teams, this changes the game. It gives them a way out of the almost Faustian pact they made with subscription broadcasters. In return for more money, they've had to sacrifice some of their audience. But the tech firms have both huge user bases and seemingly bottomless pits of cash. Little wonder the Premier League was so keen to give Amazon a cut price deal just to give it a taster of its appeal. So what could Sky do here? Well, what it could do for starters is to show some selected matches outside the paywall, as it did on Sunday with the cricket. It allowed Channel 4, a British free-to-air broadcaster, to broadcast the match, and the number of viewers doubled. If you can do that, if you can get younger viewers hooked, if you can get them to watch more than just the clips on social media, then you have a chance of reversing the declining popularity of sport and increase the chances of growing your subscription base.
Ed Evans, thank you. You can go back to calling soccer football now. Really appreciate it. And you can read more of these and other stories from Bloomberg Opinion at Bloomberg.com/opinion or on the Bloomberg terminal. Just type OPIN Go on the search bar. Karen.
Nathan, thank you. It is 5:54 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report. It's brought to you by American Arbitration Association. International trade or business dispute resolve faster with the International Center for Dispute Resolution, the leader in alternative dispute resolution around the world, ICDR.org. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Podisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
The General Accountability Office says Congress can take action to overturn Trump administration changes to waivers that states have used to forego certain Obamacare requirements. Domestic workers would receive added federal labor protections under a new bill led by Democrats. The measure would cover nannies, house cleaners, and home care workers who aren't currently covered by federal policies. And seniors with stubborn lower back pain will have another non-opioid therapy available if the federal government makes good on a plan to cover acupuncture in the Medicare program.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need on one legal research platform. Guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Steve, thank you. Now another legal story we're watching this morning. President Trump fighting to keep his financial documents secret. The D.C. Court of Appeals is the first appellate court to hear arguments over the documents, and the president is asking it to overturn a trial judge's decision allowing a House committee to demand information from his accountants. For more on the case, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks to John Marshall Law School professor Stephen Schwinn.
Stephen, what were the key points, the highlights in the arguments of both sides?
President Trump came in and argued first that the committee lacks a legitimate legislative purpose in requesting the documents. Second, that the committee was engaged in law enforcement as opposed to lawmaking in violation of separation of powers principles. Third, that the committee didn't have a clear statement that its investigatory authority ran to the president as opposed merely to the executive branch more generally. On the other side, what the House said is, look, we're seeking to enforce financial disclosure laws, conflict of interest laws, ethics in government laws, and even the emoluments clause in the Constitution, and we're looking to legislate in those areas. So what they said is we need information about the president's financial history in order to help us do that.
Observers say that two of the judges on the panel appeared skeptical of Trump's argument, two out of three. In your opinion, which side has the better arguments?
Oh, I think the House of Representatives by far has the better arguments here. And I agree with the assessment that two out of three seemed favorable to the House arguments and in some cases downright hostile to President Trump's arguments. But as to that third judge, Judge Rao, it's not entirely clear to me that she's going to go with the president, even though she seemed more favorable to the president's positions.
That's John Marshall, law school professor Stephen Schwinn, speaking to Bloomberg's June Grasso. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law, weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. And find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. Right now, S&P futures are little change. Dow futures are down 14. NASDAQ futures up about 2. The DAX in Germany is little change. 10-year Treasury, little change. Yield 2.09%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.83%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.3% or 18 cents at $59.75 a barrel, and COMEX gold is up 0.3% or $3.90 to $14.1750 an ounce. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.